Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Barcelona Podcast. This is the place for passionate opinions on unmissable stories for culés around the world, brought to you by the most influential voices in the FC Barcelona community. Thanks again for tuning in. Of course, I'm Dan Hilton, one of your two co-hosts, soon to be joined by the other co-host, in Francesc Tomàs. And if this is your first time or your 73rd time listening, we ask you can find us on social media at Twitter, at the Barcelona Pod, or at HiltonD13, or on Instagram, at the Barcelona Pod. And check out the show notes for all the other goodies that we have to offer. So unfortunately, you won't be hearing much out of me today, but believe me when I tell you this is one of our biggest shows yet, and I do truly mean it this time. We've had our first edition of the Peña Blaugrana Roundup, including Matt from Peña Barça Dallas, Victor from Peña Blaugrana Houston, Chris from Peña Blaugrana Toronto, Danny from Peña Blaugrana Chicago, and Michael from Club Blaugrana de Montreal. All right, enough from me. Time for Francesc to get this thing started.
Okay, thank you, Dan. I am hugely excited to welcome, well, a lot of people. You know, I've been contacting Peñas around the world over the last couple of weeks, and I am delighted to say that we've got five different Peñas, board members, presidents, you know, it varies. But rather than me going through everybody, I think it's probably best if you guys introduce yourselves. So if you start basically who you are, where you're from, and why do you do what you do? You know, like why are you involved in running a Peña in your local community? So let's start with Matt.
Hey guys, thanks for allowing me to explain and just showcase the passion for Peña Barça Dallas. So again, my name is Matt Gonzalez, and I am the executive director of Peña Barça Dallas, and we've been incorporated since 2009. So we have a little over, say, 1,400 members since we started in 2009. They're not official, but we're bringing them over. So we gather at the Rugby House, which is in Plano, Texas. The address is 8604 Preston Road, Suite 100. And that's Plano, Texas, 75024. So let's see. Excitement. If you love Barca, this is the place here in Dallas. So we, on a small game, we probably average about 40 people all the way up to the Clásicos, where we're looking at about 500 to 600 people showcasing. We have sponsorships from the Soccer Corner, Estrella Dom, and of course, BN Sport. So if you're looking for an opportunity or just to explore Barca, or you love Barca, or you just want to sing and watch the games and get together, this is a place. So, but again, thanks guys. I look forward to many more opportunities to discuss and express the passion for Barca, Peña Barça Dallas.
Of course. Well, that's what we're here today, man. It's a pleasure to have you. Victor, you're next.
Very good. And just a mere 4 hours south of my friends in Dallas, we are in Houston. My name is Victor Valenchek. I am the vice president of Peña Blaugrana Houston AICS, which is, as you know, we when we all get our Peña names, sometimes they're a mouthful. So we go by the Houston Culés. That is our name we started with originally. So you'll see our logo as such, and you'll see. But again, our official, as of last year, with our becoming an official Peña, we are Peña Blaugrana Houston AICS. And like what you've heard there, we're all about, you know, just welcoming people into in Houston, a large city of some 4 million people and residents. And we are just our biggest, you know, we're on an outreach mission to let people know we're here. Because if you're hearing this message here and you're in Houston, we welcome you to come out and join us. Every week I have someone comes out and joins us because they've heard us on maybe they'll hear about us on this podcast. They've heard about us maybe on other podcasts or in the promotional work we're doing. And they're like, I didn't even know there was a Pena in Houston. So we're a big goal for us is to continue to drive that outreach and let people know to join us week in and week out. We're at the Richmond Arms Pub at 5920 Richmond Avenue in the center of Houston there. And we meet there. It's an old English pub. There's a few other supporter groups there, like the Arsenal supporter group, but we're probably the second biggest one there. And we've got anywhere from, it depends on how early in the morning the match is. Maybe there's 20 of us hanging out, eating breakfast at 7 in the morning. Or like, you know, in the El Clasicos, we could be up to 200 of, you know, packing the bar at capacity plus. So, again, real excited to, you know, hopefully if you're hearing our voices here today and you come out and join us.
Sounds fantastic. Sounds like a plan. I have to say well done for all your work on social media. I keep seeing all your updates pretty much all the time. So good job there. Next up, we've got Chris.
Hi, guys. My name's Chris. Chris Wilson from Toronto. I'm one of the founding members of the Pena here. My position with the Pena is kind of like the secretary in social media, you know, master of ceremonies sometimes when we have giveaways and big events at the game. We've been running the Pena here like sort of informally for a little while, but recently we've just got everything sort of set up for activation through the end of this season and towards next season. We've already been active before, but had to sort of, you know, because of some of the red tape with switching Pena boards, it made more sense for us to sort of deactivate. So it was kind of like a complicated process, but we have a lot of connections in the city, in Barcelona, with obviously with socios and people that have lived in Toronto and, you know, gone back to Barca to help us, you know, get the Pena organized. We watch the games downtown. We have at Elephant Castle on King Street West at 212 King Street West in Toronto. It's like right in the heart of the city. We've kind of similar to the other Penas. We always have members there. We probably got about 100 members enrolled in the Pena and could have anywhere from, you know, 10 or 15 of us for the, like you said, the early games. But often, yeah, when we do the Clásico, we fill the bar. It is a major event. And, you know, our relationships with Estrella Damm through Miami and through the local beer reps here in the city is pretty strong. A lot of giveaways. And we've recently just sort of made connections too with La Liga because they have offices here in Toronto, as well as BN Sports, you know, through social media and them coming out to see the game recently against Atletico Madrid. So, yeah, we've got a great diverse city here. You know, I'm not sure if anyone of you guys have been to Toronto, but there's a lot of soccer fans here, and it is a kind of diverse market. And our group is helping sort of establish that, you know, big soccer culture here in the city. So we're happy to be a part of it.
That is brilliant. Chris, I actually was in Toronto, I would say around 6 years ago now. I traveled to New York and I spent a whole 10 days in New York City, you know, sightseeing, doing the touristy stuff from a European point of view. And I couldn't return to Europe because there was an ash cloud. I don't know if you remember that. And mm-hmm. I diverted to Toronto and I spent a whole week there. I have to say I loved it. I went to see the Blue Jays in action and Toronto FC. Yeah. So, I'm really, really pleased to have you on the show. And hopefully you can continue to work to promote, as you guys call it, soccer in the city of Toronto. Next up, we've got Danny. Danny, how are you today?
Hey, good. How are you? Thanks for having us, Francesc. So, yeah, so my name is Danny Martinez. I'm from Manlleu, which is a small town about 40 minutes from Barcelona. And, you know, I grew up being a member of the Peña Barcelonista Manlleu. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved to the United States, you know, I went to Chicago and watching the Barcelona games was just, it wasn't fun. It was just kind of boring because it was by myself or you couldn't go to a bar and just, or a Peña, there was nothing. So in 2008, when Guardiola's first year, they came to Chicago, there was Martí Perarnau, one of the the guys that works for, I think at the time, Mundo Deportivo. He did an interview with me, and just from nowhere, I'm like, oh, I'm going to start a Peña. And then I just followed through. So I started the Peña in Chicago, and I was in 2010. Well, we became official in 2010, and it's been, you know, it's been a lot of fun. You know, we meet just kind of like with what everybody else has said. But the main idea is the same thing, that just get have a place where people can come and watch the game with Barcelona fans and just have a good experience. So that's how we started with, and that's kind of what we continue doing. Now we're in the process of switching. We tried different places over the years, and now we are we're in the process of moving to an interesting place. It's a futsal academy, and they have a really nice bar. So we're going to move there, and it's good because it's always soccer people. There's only soccer people there. So my the big challenge is going to be, or fun, is going to be to transform everybody into Barca fans when they see how much fun we have, you know?
Well, at least we've got Messi. Having Messi in the team, I think it's quite a convincing sort of scenario for people to go into. Daniel, I have to say, I'm from Mollet del Vallès, which is obviously close to Barcelona and Montmeló Formula One circuit. And I've played against Manlleu many, many times. I never played for Barca. My brother did. He was teammates with Andrés Iniesta. But I played against Manlleu many times. And I have to say, you guys beat my team pretty much every time. So I'm not going to be very happy about that. But yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Last but certainly not least, we've got Michael. Michael, thank you for your patience. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Francesc. Good day, gentlemen. Bonjour à tous les Montréalais qui nous écoutent aujourd'hui. So a little bit about my Peña, Club Blaugrana de Montreal. There has been a Peña in Montreal since the year of 2007, but I have only become president in 2016. And when I became president, the Peña had been deactivated for a few years, and the membership had dwindled down to very few members. We weren't that many of us getting together to watch the games. So when I became president, surrounded with my team, we started being a lot more involved locally. We started organizing events for every single game. Our social media presence became a lot more remarkable than it had ever been. And I'm talking about our Facebook group, FC Barcelona Montreal, Peña Official. I'm talking about Daily Barça, which is a community of over 40,000 members, of which I am the co-administrator, along with the Peñas of Kenitra and Marrakesh in Morocco. And that increased social media presence has brought us a bit over 100 members in less than the 6 months following the moment when myself, along with my board of directors, took over. And we have already been able to plan a trip to Barcelona last summer. We saw the 2017 Gamper Cup. Gamper Trophy game. We saw the first leg of the unfortunate Supercopa de España. Mm-hmm. And now, as you all know, we're more and more involved locally with other North American Peñas, and we wish to organize a trip to Barcelona either in late August or early September to watch La Liga and a Champions League game. And we would very much like it if other North American Peñas could join us on our trip, and then we could all go together as one, as a big brotherhood of Peñas from North America. Locally, our activities are organized at McLean's Pub, which is located at 1210 Peel Street in downtown Montreal. We usually welcome, I would say, about 20 members, 30 members, any given game, be it early in the morning at 10 a.m. local time, be it a Champions League game on a Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, and a lot of my members, I shouldn't say this on radio, but a lot of my members skip work to watch those games with us. on a typical classical, which is aired at 2:45 p.m. Eastern time, last year we've had over 100 people gather to watch it with us. El Clásico of December 2017, which was aired at 7 a.m. local time, we were still able to gather over 40 people to watch the game with us, despite the early kickoff, despite the atrocious Montreal winter weather. I mean, if I can remember correctly, it was probably minus 20, minus 30 that day. Celsius, and people still showed up to watch the game with us. So there is something very interesting happening in Montreal, and I think that we owe it a lot to the diversity. I mean, we're English, we're French, we're American, we're European, we're African, we're Asian, we're from all over the place, and I could tell you, gentlemen, that our members are from all walks of life. We have full-time students, we have retirees, we have couples, we have foreign students, we have immigrants, we have people such as myself who were born in Montreal, people such as me, close students to foreign countries that are the sons and daughters of immigrants such as myself. I think this is what is making our community great, our Peña great, and we're always welcoming new members. Every single day we receive messages from people who are asking about our Peña and are interested in becoming members. And when you join Club Blaugrana Montreal, you're not only joining a supporters group, you're truly joining a family. And if any of your listeners can make it to Montreal on a visit or on a weekend or on a business trip.
That sounds superb. I think while I was hearing what you were saying, it's Tan Sabal Don Banim, isn't it? In Catalan, that means it doesn't matter where we come from, which is part of the Barça anthem. And you just described it. I mean, personally, having lived in Barcelona and Mollet for pretty much the whole of my life before moving to London, that was around 16 years ago, I can definitely see what you're saying. You know, it's people from all ways of life, all sort of backgrounds, ethnicities, we all support the same badge, you know, we all support the same colors, and that is something very, very special. Now, welcome to the show, of course. I just want to sort of throw out a question, and obviously anyone feel free to join in at any time. Why do you do what you do? Why are you involved in a Peña? Is it not just easy to just watch the games and forget about all the paperwork?
That's a great question, Francesc. This is Matt from Peña Barça Dallas. You know, like I said, I think here in the States, probably around 2007, let me back up. I've played soccer since I was 4 years old. Now it's football, but football, soccer since I was four, and I've always played. And I've always appreciated the beautiful game. And I'm kind of a late bloomer, but around 2006, 2007, you were able to watch, you know, Barca on TV, and I just fell in love. I mean, I've always loved great football because all we had was MLS at the time, and of course European was just gorgeous football. So ever since then, say 2007, I've always just appreciated, you know, the tiki-taka, just the beautiful possession game and everything. And then ever since then, I saw Barca, I just fell in love, and I said, this is what I want to do. I want to create or gather all the crazy fans like myself, and let's just, you know, sing and dance and just cheer on the best team in the world. And, you know, ever since then, Peña Barça Dallas has just been growing. So, Francesc, that's why I do it, just for the love of the colors and the beautiful game.
Excellent. Sounds amazing. Anyone else?
So this is Michael from Montreal, Michael Miller from the Club La Granada Montreal. Well, my own background story, I started watching Barca when I was a little kid. Both my parents, as well as their families, are also Barca fans. And back in those days, you couldn't really watch La Liga games on television in North America. You could only catch the Champions League. So the only times that I could really watch a lot of Barca games, and we're talking about the early 90s, it was whenever I would go to Morocco with my parents. My family is from Morocco, and I was able to watch the great Johan Cruyff Dream Team, and I fell in love with the way they played, and the fact that my family are all supporting Barca obviously helped. But whenever I would come back home, I would always make it a point to run home from school and catch the Champions League on television, which was aired on cable at the time. When I became a teenager, then I started gathering with my friends, and I had a lot of friends around me who actually loved Barca as well. And I carried that sort of tradition until I became a university student. And then I started hearing about groups gathering together in local pubs. The fact that there was an atmosphere, a community of people just gathering together, watching the same game, and it was never quite the same as what I had experienced in Morocco. And I thought, we have enough people here who love the club. Why not gather all these people together under one roof and share that passion together? And that is why I think I'm so passionate about it. I see what is done elsewhere in the world, and I'm thinking we have enough potential to do the same here. We have enough passion to do the same here. And we have passionate members here, too, who are always happy to contribute, always happy to help. And the more I see this community growing, the more it gives me the willpower to always give more, to always try more, to always contribute more. And I think that Barca is very much part of my life, as much as my own family, as much as the air that I breathe. And I will always continue supporting my club, and I will always continue working really hard to make sure that my club has a presence in my city.
That sounds superb. That's pretty much the same reason why I do what I do. I mean, the Barcelona podcast and BarcaBlog.com, there's two things that keep pushing sort of on a daily basis. And without that passion and that love that you just explained, obviously nothing does happen. I want to throw another question out there. Having Messi in our club does help, doesn't it?
Just a little.
Who's Messi?
100% yes. 100% yes. I mean, ever since this kid walked on the pitch, I mean, it's just been wow. You know, and this is Matt from Peña Barça Dallas again. But yes, Messi, I don't know, what can you say about him? I mean, he is the best. He's from another planet. It's just every time he walks on the pitch, you never know what this kid is going to do. And I say kid because he's 30 and I'm, you know, a young 44. But it's just amazing, amazing to see him play. So I'm just excited for the next, you know, few years to see what he can finish out. And it is going to be unbelievable when he's not on the pitch. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, tell me, guys, what are you guys going to do?
I was just thinking of the same, like you were like, it's great. And we're used to Messi and the way he plays. But yeah, what's going to happen to us when Messi's gone? I mean, it's going to be a transition. It's not going to be like going through a divorce or something.
Yes.
Right. So would you say Messi is the only reason then that Barca in this unbeaten run in La Liga, challenging for the Champions League? Obviously, we got Roma ahead, but you know, it's not a certainty we're going to beat them. We are in the final, so basically, we're still challenging for the treble, and there isn't that long to go in the season. Do you think Messi is the key driver with that, or the only reason? How would you guys see it?
You know, this is Victor Valanchek from the Houston Cougars, and you know, when I think about this season compared to the past, you know, is he the key? There's no question he's the key, but I think just huge, you know, credit to Valverde for being able to see and be able to put a plan together around Messi and sure. To be able to make everybody in the team stronger, you know, with yes, Messi at the center of everything. So, again, without Valverde, you know, pulling the strings and being the puppeteer, you know, I don't think we have the same season.
Yeah, this is Chris from Toronto. I kind of echo the same sentiment that Messi being a centerpiece of everything has always sort of been the case. But definitely the transition this year with Valverde, you know, giving each player what seems to be like a complementary transition through Messi's transition into this team. It just seems like the team itself, you know, works you know, incredibly well as a unit, even when we see them like suffering under a press like we did against Athletic Bilbao. You see them playing in the second half in a very difficult way, being pressed high by that team. And I think that Valverde almost to a point like wants his team to be stressed out defensively so that they can learn how to play like deep into this season, into the Champions League. And I just feel like that Valverde has something going on with his conception of the defense this year that is very different from previous seasons, particularly with Rakitic and Busquets in the midfield and how they are just all over the pitch.
Okay, that's very telling. So would you say then Valverde is the key difference maker this year, together with Messi, obviously, or is the departure of Neymar the key element there?
Definitely Jordi Alba. His position without Neymar being there has changed dramatically. And I think Jordi Alba was almost like a wayward sort of defender last year in a way towards the end of the season. So that has been a welcome adjustment, I think.
Hey, well, this is Danny from Chicago. And I just want to say, same with Victor, I think that, yes, Valverde reads the games really well. And he's been able to put the team in a good place. Like, I don't know if you remember in the summer when, you know, we all started, we're like, oh no, this is going to be tough. And a second half, Valverde reads the game well, and he makes the changes that need to be made. So I definitely think that Valverde is one of the keys.
All right. So would you get Neymar back then? Do we need him back?
This is Michael from Michael Miller from Club Blaugrana de Montreal. I don't think that there is any room for Neymar to come back to our club. We've moved on. We've made some key acquisitions since he has left. Now that we have Dembele, that we have Coutinho, we're also welcoming the addition of Arthur, who's going to join us eventually. We have to think about promoting some of the very talented prospects that we have playing for Barça B at the moment. I'm thinking about Carles Alenia, for example. So to take Neymar and to bring him back in the new dynamic that we've had this season would completely ruin the balance that we've acquired. We're doing well. We're doing even better than we could have ever imagined after Neymar has left. And to bring him back will, in my opinion, ruin a recipe that is working really well at the moment. He gave us 4 years. I have some mixed feelings about him, obviously, more negative than positive because of the way he left. But still, he gave us 4 years, and now that he has moved on, so should we. And the future is bright. We have a lot of potential coming up. The signings that we have made will be with Barcelona for a very long time. So the future is kind of looking brighter than we could have ever imagined. So in terms of Neymar, I think his future is far away from Barcelona, maybe not that far away from Madrid, in my opinion.
Oh, there we are, because that's the key issue here, isn't it? Puyol talked about it a couple of days back, and he said if he just joined Madrid, then so be it. He's a professional. He can go wherever he wants. I want to shift gears here from Neymar, because, you know, he's in the past, as I'm sure we have agreed already. We've got Dembélé, but we did pay a lot for him, didn't we? How do you see Dembélé and his season this year, but the progression and potential for the future?
This is Victor here over in Houston. And, you know, when I think about Dembélé and we brought him on, when I look at this, I always feel like we have to remember the time and place. I feel like the time and place was unlike any other time when we lose a top player in the world, and we weren't prepared. You know, we could argue that you think Bartomeu should have been prepared. Maybe they should have known this was going to happen, or we should have had someone like Coutinho lined up the year prior. But at the end of the day, we were kind of caught with our pants down on that one. So we needed to do something, and we brought in a Dembélé at a price that, you know, nobody ever thought we, you know, would pay for such a, you know, for that type of youngster. And to do so, I mean, we just need to chalk that up. It's paid. It's done. It was time and place. But when it comes to his performance, lots of unfortunate times happened with his injuries. And I'm willing to chalk up this season as training season. I mean, at the end of the day, Valverde figured out how to do it with countless other, players on the right, from Vidal to, I'm thinking of all the guys that he put up there in that place for the first half of the season, and we're still undefeated. So again, kudos to Valverde for plugging that hole during Dembélé's being down. But what we've seen in the short term, him and his confidence, I just see we're seeing that hockey stick upward. If you're looking at the chart right now of his confidence, his performance, and I'm just excited for where that hockey stick goes with him.
Exactly. Even with that goal Dembélé scored in Champions, I mean, talk about confidence booster. We'll see what Dembélé can do. Like you said, I agree with you, Victor, on, this being kind of a training year and the injuries, for the first, like 8 weeks, really hurt. And he's just got so much speed, so much technical ability, that I think he's going to blossom, and it's just going to take time. He just needs more play time. And Valverde, I'm sure, has a plan for him. So time will tell.
Talking about time then, guys, we've got Don Andrés Iniesta has spent, I would say, the whole of his life, his whole of his footballing career defending our colours, has done fantastically well. I mean, I met him as soon as he joined us as a 12-year-old, and I followed his career ever since, and he is remarkable. However, there seems to be a lot of money being chucked his way from China, and he's currently considering to leave. If he did leave, could we survive?
Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, we'll survive, but that's like, just stabbing right in the heart. I mean, but, because like he's been there since, day one. Andres Iniesta, Don, Iniesta, I mean, he is just magic on the pitch. He is what keeps the glue together. I mean, it's just going to be very, very difficult, to move forward without him. Granted, we do, have key players in place. I mean, Coutinho was coming in for him. It's just I really, really wanted to see Iniesta just retire out of Barcelona. I mean, he's done. He doesn't, need to play for any other club. I mean, he could – be like a Puyol or something in the organization. It's just going to be really hard, to see him go, if he goes.
All right. This is Michael from Montreal. Iniesta leaving would be a heartbreaker for me as well. But here's the thing. We've all followed Barca for many, many years, all of us, and we've seen the likes of Stoichkov, Romario, Rivaldo, Ronaldinho, Xavi, all come and go, but the Blaugrana wheels will always keep on turning. There's always that moment when we have to say goodbye to a legend, when we have to say goodbye for someone who captured our attention, our emotions for so many years. But and that's my wish for Iniesta, selflessly. If we can win the treble this season, and he can get the same type of farewell that Xavi has received, he can move on to China in peace. In my opinion, it'll be the best way for him to leave. However, I would certainly not want him to leave the same way Puyol has leave, which is to retire quietly on a trophyless season. If we can win it all this season, and considering how less and less he's been able to give us minutes. Of course, all his minutes are quality minutes, but he can't give us 90 minutes twice a week like he used to. So if he can leave on a high note this summer, I would be more than happy to wish him good luck in his new challenge in China, if that time comes.
I think that is precisely the key, is where in his career he is now. I mean, when Xavi left, he was playing pretty much every game, but he was coming on as a sub in the last, I would say, 25 to 30 minutes, depending on how much we needed to control the game at that point. When Puyol did retire, I totally agree. He was not really featuring. He had been injured on and off for the last, I would say, 18, 20 months. But Iniesta's a starter. So do you think Coutinho's ready to take that forward? I mean, we've got Alagna hopefully being promoted from the B team in the summer. We've got Arthur hopefully join us also in the summer, although he's most likely going to be in the winter transfer window. And Coutinho's already with us. But do you think that the combination of those three will set us up for, say, September if he left in the summer?
Sure. I personally think Coutinho, and again, people, you know, definitely, you know, will say, even though we want to believe he's the Iniesta replacement was the big talk. I think we know the style of play, the type of player he is definitely different. But I feel like that bringing in that level of player that Coutinho is, for me, just puts me at a complete ease to know that we've replaced the, which we know is the inevitable, you know, departure of Iniesta. And so to have someone like Coutinho there, and yes, will the play be different? Will the style play maybe slightly different? Yeah, but it might be a little bit, you know, it may bring some exciting things because the threat from outside the box with Coutinho is fun to watch, and it's just going to change things a bit, but I'm feeling pretty comfortable.
Well, good. Guys, we're running sort of out of time here, and I want you all to have a turn now. Just the final question then. I don't really mind which order you do this in. The question is, if you had to sign one player in the summer, who could it be and why? And this is a quick fire one. You've got a minute each. Go.
Hey, it's Chris from Toronto. One name that was kind of curiously absent from the Iniesta talk is Sergi Roberto. I think, I'm not sure contractually what's going on in terms of his position, but I know there's been a lot of rumors about him potentially, you know, making a move because of the profile he's raised for himself at the club. I think he's a person that has that versatility midfield and right back and even playing forward sometimes that he needs to be featured, I think, in the future of this club, in my opinion.
Okay, my understanding is that he renewed his contract recently.
Yeah, he did.
Until 2020, yes. I understand.
Yeah, worth $500 million buyout clause.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So it's obviously they've kept him in. I just thought, based on our previous chat, I wanted to vouch for him with the Iniesta talk, too.
To be honest, that is precisely my thought as well. If you can move Sergio Roberto to the midfield, the solution is probably going to be closer. Any signing for the summer, anyone?
I would like to, this is Danny from Chicago. I would bring back Thiago from Bayern. I don't know if it's possible or not, but that would be my, if I could choose.
Why?
A lot of our members feel the same in Toronto too, yeah.
Danny, why?
Because he knows the style of play. He grew up with us and he's become now at Bayern a better player. And, personally, I seen him play and I've never seen anybody with a better first touch. So I think he would be able to help us a lot with moving forward.
This is Matt, Peña Barça Dallas. This is a long shot, but I would say Dybala from Juventus, just to come in and just help out with the middle. And I think Rakitic has been having some looks or whatever. Man U are interested in him. So plus he knows the Magic Man very well. You know, they're on the national team together. So, and his style of play is beautiful too. So,
good choice. Two more. Who would you sign and why?
All right, this is Michael from Montreal. And I think that we should, in terms of our center backs, we started recently to reshape for the future with the addition of Yerry Mina. And I think that another move in the same direction would be a good idea this summer. And I'm thinking about the young Ajax center back, Matthias De Ligt. I have seen, we've all seen a lot of him last season when Ajax made it to the final of the Europa League. This season, he's been repeating his outstanding performances. And I would prefer to sign a Matthias De Ligt, who's in his early 20s, and has a bright future ahead of him than to give Thomas Vermaelen a contract extension. So I would basically either sell Vermaelen on a high, since this season he's had pretty much his only productive season with Barca. With a year left on his contract, I think that the time is right to sell him and to replace him with a youngster like De Ligt, who could bring a lot of assurance, a lot of consistency, and a lot of stability to our defensive core.
That makes a lot of sense. And last but not least,
Victor here, and with the Houston. And so when I think about, you know, signings, I'm like, oh, the stress of transfer rumors is sometimes a little overwhelming, I think, for all of us. But as you know, with Coutinho coming in, with Dembele, and what we have up front, and what we've done over this last year, I just and I think if you're like me, you have a passion for La Masia players. And I think, you know, yes, love to see Alenia come in. But I, when it comes to that center, you know, someone like, and you know, hopefully gets, you know, he heals and gets back to full fitness. Oriol Busquets, to bring in a youngster like that and to learn from, you know, from the other Busquets and Rakitic, and to bring someone young in from the club is kind of a big win-win, right? We're bringing in someone from La Masia. We're bringing in someone young, and we're giving them a chance to learn from these players. I'd really love to see that.
Superb. I couldn't agree more. That's one of the points I made in our previous podcast. It was episode 72, which obviously I strongly recommend to anyone who's still listening to the podcast that goes back and listens to that when we're finished here, which we are finished now. Chris, Danny, Michael, Matt, and Victor, it's been a pleasure to have you. You can always, forever and ever say you were in the very first Peña Blaugrana roundup in the Barcelona podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be calling you after the show to get a bit of feedback from you. But it was a pleasure for us. Hopefully our listeners have enjoyed your expertise and your passion too, as much as I have. So thank you very much. Have a good, for me it will be evening, for you it's day.
I hope you enjoyed the first Peña Blaugrana Rondo almost as much as I did. Thanks again for listening to the Barcelona podcast. And until next time, we'll talk to you soon, and Forza Barça.
Forza.